This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
7 years since that Stanley Cup moment in Las Vegas. Maybe their best chance to do it again starts tonight with Game 1 of their first round series against Montreal, Capital One Arena tonight in Chinatown. The NHL playoffs begin for Washington, and it's been 7 years since they've actually won a series. Grant Paulson's going to join us today at 11 a.m. We'll talk Caps. We'll talk some NFL draft with Grant. Sam Monson from the 33rd team used to be with Pro Football Focus. You'll hear my conversation with Sam at about 11:30. Ben Standing later on in the show at 12. I've got some draft stuff to talk about today. I'm going to start with the running backs. On Friday, I gave you three players I don't think Washington will take at 29. Some follow-up to that because a lot of you weighed in on your thoughts, and many disagreed, which is fine. This, by the way, is one of the busier sports weeks, you know, on the sports calendar. You've got the NFL draft Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You've got the NBA playoffs, which are underway, and you've got the NHL playoffs, which are underway. Love this time of year where you've got meaningful games and events basically every night for the next 2 months. This from Dennis. Dennis writes, "Let me be the next one, Kevin, to thank you for your lame suggestion to watch the NBA playoffs. Is there a close game to be found?" There was on Saturday, Dennis. The Clippers and the Nuggets went to overtime on Saturday. I don't think it was a great basketball game necessarily, but you are correct that we have had 8 first-round game ones in the NBA playoffs, 4 on Saturday and 4 yesterday, and we have had but 1 decided by less than double digits, and that was the Nuggets beating the Clippers, coming from behind, 15 points behind, to beat the Clippers in overtime. Everything else has been blowout city, although last night's Warriors-Rockets game was crazy. The Warriors took game one 95-85. I mean, that was a throwback. Steve Kerr said to 1997. It was a throwback to the early 2000s. I mean, lots of defense, lots of ugliness at times, but Steph Curry's brilliance came through. We'll talk a little bit about that game in a bit. I do want to start with the Caps, who get their, you know, Stanley Cup process started tonight. Look, they have not been a very good playoff team during the Alex Ovechkin era, with the exception of one season, 2017-2018. You go through the years, all right? 2007, 2008, 2008, it was the first Ovechkin playoff season. They lost to the Flyers at home in 7. 2009, they beat the Rangers but lost to the Penguins in a 7th and deciding game at home. 2010, we remember that disaster. First round, Montreal. They haven't played the Canadiens since 2010 in the postseason. Game 7 at home, Halak'd. Yeah, Yaroslav Halak totally shut him out through that 7-game series. He was lights out, and that was a stunning first-round upset. They got to the second round in 2011, but went out meekly to Tampa in 4 straight. In 2012, they had that exciting game winner in Game 7 at Boston, but lost at home again in a Game 7 to the Rangers. Next year, lost in the first round of the Rangers in seven games. Didn't make it in 2014. The 2015 season, game seven to the Rangers in the second round. Then it was the Penguins in 2016 who they lost to in six games in the second round. And then they lost to the Penguins in game seven at home in 2017. They had not, up until 2018, gotten out of the second round, and so many Game 7 losses, several of them at home, before 2018 struck. And look, you go back to that first round series against Columbus, they dropped the first two at home and had to come back and win it 4-2. Of course, the Game 6 in Pittsburgh felt like a major hurdle cleared to beat the Pens in the postseason. They went on to win the last two to beat Tampa in seven in the Eastern Conference Finals and then beat Vegas in five to win the Cup. But take 2018 out. Man, it's been nothing but falling short of expectations most of the time and doing it in heartbreak fashion. Although, since winning the Cup, losing Game 7 to Carolina the next year at home, another Game 7 loss at home. Since then, they haven't been close. Lost to the Islanders in 5, that was COVID. Lost to the Bruins in 5 in 21. Lost to the Panthers in 22 in the first round. And last, then they'd missed the playoffs altogether, and last year got blanked in the first round by the Rangers. This feels like pre-2018. I know it's not exactly that because they do have a Stanley Cup, but they've now gone 6 years without getting out of the first round. One of those 6 years not even qualifying for the postseason. And I had Ted Leonsis on the show 2 weeks ago now, something like that. And I asked him, like, is there some pressure for Alex to get a second one, or at least to not get eliminated in the first round for what would be the 9th time during his career? And he actually suggested that there was some pressure on him too. I'll tell you what, man, that organization, thank God for 2018, because it could have been one and done against Columbus in that first round. Remember how competitive that first series was? It's the randomness of hockey, man, in the postseason. I get it. I understand. Hockey's crazy. And the puck bounced their way in 2018. They lost two overtime games at home and then had to go to two overtimes in game three to get their first win in that series against Columbus. And then we're in a game five overtime game against Columbus. They could have easily lost that series. And I know you can go back and point to the series that they've lost that should have gone their way because they outplayed the opponent. But the puck, luck, didn't go their way. I don't know. It feels like after the regular season they had, you know, finishing with the best record in the East, 111 points, the second best record in the league overall, even though they're not picked to win it all. They're picked third or fourth in the East, odds-wise, by the odds makers. What do they know, man? Making odds for hockey? That's crazy. Because the best usually don't win. The regular season best usually don't win in the postseason. But it does feel like, it feels like based on their regular season, no matter how they ended it, and they didn't end it well, you know, they lost a bunch of games coming down the stretch. You know, there's been discussion that this was more about, you know, the focus on Ovi down the stretch. Okay, that's fine. Now you got to put it together because they lost coming down the stretch. They lost 8 of their final 12 games. A first-round exit to Montreal would be one of the biggest disappointments of the Ovechkin era. I think they got to at least get to an Eastern Conference Finals with this team. A second round exit would be disappointing. Max, you're a big Caps guy. Do you feel the pressure that maybe is back on this organization? Maybe back on Ovi to a certain degree?
Oh, yeah.
Not the same level of pressure that you had in 2018, but 7 years since they've won a series.
It's been a long time, and it does not feel like it's been 7 years, but the fact that it has been 7 years, just it's crazy. I'm trying to view this as a full circle moment for this team and for Alex Ovechkin specifically, because 2010 really did a number on this fan base, because they were just a wagon the entire year, and then Montreal just out of nowhere. And I feel like that could happen again. There's definitely no question that it is a possibility, but you got to think that this team and Alex Ovechkin just are taking their wealth of knowledge and experience and are putting their all into these next two series, for these next four series, really,
yeah,
to get all the way to the final. But I think they're not going to play with their food, you know what I mean, for these next couple weeks. It's been, they've did the Ovechkin chase and the, it's been, they were, I've heard they were 3-9 since March 25th, which is just a terrible final month of the season. So I'm hoping that that's a lot of just human nature, because they were the first to clinch a playoff spot. They were the first to lock up their conference. I just think that it's time to lock in. It's time to go. And I think this team is ready for it.
So far, the NHL, they're spreading their first-round games out.
That
the NBA
are.
Got all game ones done on Saturday and Sunday, and then they begin to spread them out. The NHL does it right from the jump. So Saturday, there were two games. Yesterday, there were three games. Tonight, there are four games. Tonight, you have all you have two game ones and two game twos in the postseason. So far, the home team of the five games played have won four of those. There's only been one so-called upset. Colorado beat Dallas on the road on Saturday night 5-1. The home team is taking care of business in the other two. And I think, you know, I had Alan May on my podcast. I may play some of that today before the end of the show. I think Alan said it, and I think on Friday we had Tarik El-Bashir, who said the same thing. You know, Montreal, after reaching the Cup Finals during COVID and losing in the Cup Finals, where they could only allow during the COVID postseason 3,500 fans per game. All right, now they were playing Florida or Tampa in the finals, and they allowed, you know, a full arena. So the Montreal fan base has not seen, because they have not made the playoffs since. If you go back to Montreal on Friday night, 1-1, that place, which already is a deafening, you know, home arena. Look at me talking about hockey home crowds. But I know enough to know Montreal as a home crowd is awesome. And so you got to get these two. You got to go back to Montreal up 2-0. Can't give them a 1-1 and belief and have that fired up fan base to face when you get there on Friday night. We'll see.
Should be repeated, because it's crazy that it has happened, for being the NHL's all-time goal leader and all-time caps leader in playoffs. Alexander Ovechkin has never scored a playoff OT goal. Be a good time for it.
Really good time.
Back near side for Laine. Puck iced by Montreal. A breakout that fails out of their zone, and every time you get an offensive zone draw in sudden death overtime, heart rate gets up a little bit. Maybe you can find somebody a loose puck here, and Alex Ovechkin will come on for this.
Well, they'll try. Ovechkin will line up behind Dylan Strome, looking for that quick snapshot. He's done so many times over the years. Dylan can win this cleanly right back to Ovechkin.
Chychrun is there too. As the puck comes toward Beauvillier, Ovechkin was in the vicinity, and a shot here from Beauvillier. It's hit! They score! And Ovechkin got it! His first overtime game winner! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Montreal! Alex Ovechkin, the overtime game-winning goal! Caps lead the series 1-0.
Well, just you asked for it, John. You got your wish. An overtime goal. Outstanding on that one. Ovechkin in front of the net. Great hands. Nobody's got better hands when it comes to the nose for the net. He bats that one in, and the Caps take that 1-0 lead.
Welcome back. It is B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today. Appreciate Barstool Nate for joining us in the last segment coming up at 1 o'clock. Alan May going to give us his breakdown of the Capitals Game 1 victory. Right now, talking with you guys, 800-636-1067. You'd like to hop in on the listener lines. Your level of confidence in the Capitals and then moving on after a good Game 1, I would say, overall. Not great final 12 minutes or so of that game, but overall, a good Game 1. How do you feel coming out of that one, B. Mitch?
Well, when I look at the people from Vegas numbers of minus 650, I'm confident because they normally know more than I do. But no, let's just say they got a game that they needed to get last night. And I'm sure Carberry and his group is going to make sure they understand what they need to do better. As Nate stated, they had secured this thing a long time ago. And it's hard as hell as a human being to stay balls to the wall if you are already in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now they got to get back to that rhythm of what they were at. And if they do, it's going to be a problem for a team like Montreal to beat them.
Well, and the reason that I'm more confident coming out today is because of what I saw those first 10, 15 minutes of the game.
Uh-huh.
You were worried about, okay, can this team flip the switch? We've talked about that all day today. And they showed that they definitively can. It's not something either where it was like, ooh, they sort of flipped it.
Uh-huh.
They looked totally different. Right? Like, they look like the Capitals team that was motivated. And we're hearing all leading up to the series about how Montreal is a fast team. They're smaller. They're going to be mm-hmm. skating all over the ice. That didn't look like that early. The Capitals were flying all over the place. They were the one laying the lumber. They were hitting, and they were ready to roll. So I think seeing what I did early on in that hockey game, aside from the fact that it took them a little bit to finally put one in the back of the net, but just seeing that level of hockey again from them was really, really encouraging.
Yep.
Gave me a lot more confidence going forward.
And as Nate stated, there were a lot of opportunities that they just missed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you begin to pile those up a little bit more, and I've said this for the most of the year, it's not just Ovi. It's cool that he's leading the way, but it's not just him. Which I think now, if you go focus on Ovi too much, somebody else get you. You know, you get Strom and all those different guys can come get you. So I think this is the better, especially early in the playoffs. As they go farther, they're going to have to be what they were early in the season. Not be a semblance of it, be what they were.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's what this series can be about is Montreal's a really good hockey team. They're one of the hottest teams coming in. They had a 1% chance at one point this season to make the playoffs, be Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are in the playoffs. So they've had a really good run. But this is a chance for you to get back in shape. This is a chance for you to kind of get back to what you once were, like you're saying, so that when you go forward in these playoffs, assuming you're able to win this series, that when you're faced tougher competition, you're going to be back to the team that we saw that earned that number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They're going to need that sort of play. So seeing them kind of get back to that early on in the hockey game was encouraging. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. What's your confidence level in the Capitals after what you saw last night? Let's get out to David in Fairfax. David, what's going on?
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. I love your guys' show. And I've been a Cap season ticket holder for about 25 years.
Were you at the game last night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll be at every one of them.
Love it.
And electricity, fantastic. First two periods, wonderful. And third period, a big lapse. And to your point, exactly. The thing that makes the Stanley Cup playoffs so special is 4-7 game series. You're going to have lapses. You're going to have a period off. The key for me is when you have those, and you're playing another professional team. Montreal's got plenty of talent, and like you say, they're hot. Is you have to have those momentum swings be 4 and 6 minutes long, not entire periods. And after a game like last night, you hear all the right words. Hey, we got to do this for three periods, not two. You got to translate that into action the next game. But certainly, you got to win ugly sometimes. And you might lose a game or two, even two. But you got to really bring it the next time. And I have good confidence that they're certainly going to get past Montreal. But one game, one period at a time. And they've got all the horses and the chemistry's there. There's no reason that they can't learn from these kind of games and move on. And you know, I see this going five games maybe, but don't spend more time with Montreal than you absolutely need to. Thanks for taking my call.
I appreciate it,
100%.
David.
I agree with him, totally.
I think the one thing that maybe the reason you saw a little bit of that lapse in the third period is the way that they came out with so much energy and hitting so much is maybe it was a little bit too dialed up, and in turn you have an older hockey team that maybe wore down just a little bit in third period. So I think if they dial it back just a hair, B. Mitch, and find that perfect balance, but I'm not worried about them going forward because at least just seeing them get back to playing the way that they did in those first couple periods, I think you're going to see more of that versus the lapses that you saw in that third period.
Yeah, the lapses, like he said, yeah, you're going to have laps in these playoffs, but we saw down the stretch there were a lot of them too.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want that to become like an issue where it becomes, you know, something that happens often.
Well, and this
more often than not.
This is kind of different from what we saw during the regular season too, in that this team is usually awesome in the third period.
Yes.
That was their period where how many times did they go into the third period trailing by a goal or two and they'd come back and at least salvage a point by going to overtime, or they'd come back and win the thing. So I think this was a little bit different seeing them really crush the first two periods and struggle in the third. I think once they finally figure out their legs again, get back into form, and I think that's what the series can be about.
Yeah.
Let's get out to Carlos in Severna Park. Los,
what's
going
on, brother?
Hey, listen, I was at the game last night, all right? Listen, I'm going to give you my Shannon Sharp, all right? Montreal, shopping at the mall, Chris Paul, Paul Wall, we ain't scared of y'all.
I love it. Caps and five.
Listen, extremely high. All right, I know this cap. This Canadian team is young. All right, and that's why I say five, because I think we're just gonna get we're gonna get humbled a little bit. But cup wise, this team, there's nothing like a team that cares about each other, and this team cares about each other more than any team I've seen. Thanks for giving me a call, guys.
All right, brother,
appreciate it. Yeah, they're an interesting group where it seems like they are closer. It almost reminds me of how this Commanders team was this season, B. Mitch, where they're a good team. They've obviously got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
But they're maxing it out because the closeness of the group, the chemistry that the group has,
you don't
want to
let
special.
You don't want to let your teammate down.
Yeah, and you see
that. Means something. The people don't understand that when your team is close, they play better. It's just like, it's something about family, like family. When you want to go out there and make sure you don't let your family down, you can do some exceptional things. But if you're not close knit as a family group, you don't care. You know, some people be cheering against their family. This team is not cheering against each other.
No, they want to play for each other. They play really hard. Let's get out to Toothpick in Texas. Pick,
Toothpick,
what's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's good, B? Hey, Toby. Listen, real quick. I love the intensity. My guy, Nate, said that they're going to get one. I want to see these guys get none. I want to see them dispatch of these Canadians as quickly as possible. Like you said, let Ovi get some rest, right, and move on and get ready for the second round. Let whoever they're going to play in the second round have a full series. But let the Caps get some rest. Let Alex Sivgak relax. And let's go on this Stanley Cup run, man. The scene yesterday was amazing. I like the energy and the hitting, too. So, yeah, man, I'll get back with you guys when we talk a little NFL draft.
All right, bro.
Appreciate it, Toothpick. Yeah, I think the big thing is seeing their strategy come out. They're going to play physical.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to play that way, it would be nice to get some rest, especially, you know, going into some series that are going to be a little more – they're going to have guys that can match up a little bit better. Because, frankly, yeah, like we were talking about earlier – Derrick Henry against Rory McIlroy, a.k.a. Alex Ovechkin leveling, yeah, Cole Caulfield. That's not exactly a fair fight.
We're
going
to lose most of those.
Yeah. So, you know, getting into a series where they're going to have some bigger guys is going to be you want to have some rest going into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this team understands where they're at. And I think, like, to your point, I think Carbs is really, really good. I think he's one of the best coaches in the league, if not the best coach in the league. They're going to be able to point out what the issues were and fix them. And it feels even better coming off of a win.
Yeah, yeah. You can lean on them a little bit when they win and they didn't play their best. But if you lose, you want to kind of coddle them a little bit. But he can lean in and say, hey, we make one more mistake, we lose that game. We won it. But let's get to the point where we can make a mistake and not they won't be close.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Right. Let's get out to Keith in Leesburg. Keith, what's going on?
What up, Keith?
What's up, fellas? Thanks for taking the call. Look, I need the secondary line to start putting some pucks in the net, but Michael needs to finish off those chances he has. I think the Caps get it in six. I think Montreal is a better team at home. We still have to go on the road for two.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to go up and play against Montreal and net up in Canada. The other thing that kind of scares me a little bit was, you know, loss of Martin. Martin led our team, well, was one of our leaders in our team with hits. And that's hard to replace, and I don't know that you're going to get it in Bear or Alexiev. The other part that really terrifies me is I keep thinking of Montreal. I'm having flashbacks of 08 when we were a number one seed and they were an 8 seed, and Halak came out and blocked.
That's that damn goalie I was talking about.
Yeah, Halak, yeah. I mean, he overtook that game. You get a hot goalie in the playoffs, and you can go deep. I mean, real deep. So we've got to figure him out early. We've got to figure him out quick. And it can't just be the OV line putting the puck in the net. You've got to get some other guys putting it in there. So I do like what I saw. I like both periods. I love the overtime. We were all over them in overtime.
Yep.
They were like, hey, we're not going to wait for a mistake. We're just going to go get it. And they went and got it. And I loved it. So, you know, go Caps. Hopefully it's 6. I would love it in 5. We can rest them. But
I'll take it in 4.
The win, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. Thanks. Appreciate it, Keith.
All right, man.
Yeah, I think
Yaroslav, that's his name? Halak.
Yeah, I mean, hot goalie can be the difference in these playoff series. I'm kind of hoping now, too, that you got Logan Thompson back in net. It'd be kind of nice to have it on the flip side where you've got the hot goalie. Obviously, we've seen that in 2018.
Yeah, let the hot goalie be us.
But it'd be kind of nice if Logan Thompson, because he was spectacular most of the season. He struggled a little bit after the Four Nations, but before that, I mean, this dude, his record, I think it was something like 31-6-6.
Yeah,
this dude is awesome.
Spectacular.
So if you can get that sort of goaltending again, and I think he, you know, was able to get back on track a little bit, getting back on the ice. Let's get out to Andy in Monrovia. Andy, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's going on, Andy?
I just wanted to say that I spent the entire third period watching closely Ovi and what he was doing. And I think he spent a lot of time not playing defense. And the other four guys on that shift were just struggling, and that's why they were on their heels. And Montreal had the puck in the Caps' end the entire time in the third period. And, it was great that he scored the overtime winner, but I think they were lucky to win that game.
Yeah, I don't know if I fully agree with that. Appreciate it, Andy. I don't know that I fully agree that they were lucky to win that game, because there were also chances that they could have scored, like we talked about McMichael. So yeah,
they were more aggressive down the stretch, but they did allow them back in the game.
I think if you were to grade it, I think the Capitals were better on, 40 of the 60, so two periods, right? I think they were the better team last night, but you can't give those chances to his point because sometimes the puck doesn't go your way, and even though you outplay a team, you still lose, so you can't have that. I see the Rooster walking around. Maybe we'll get him to hop by, give us his thoughts. I know he was down at Capital One Arena talking about the Capitals as they are up 1-0 in the series after they beat the Canadiens last night, 3-2 in overtime. More to come here on B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
Caps coverage brought to you by Ace Computers. Ace Computers proudly recommends Windows 11 Pro for the U.S. military. Made in America. Check out acecomputers.com. Now, Caps take on Montreal tonight.
Big one.
7 p.m. at Capital One Arena. Hopefully tomorrow morning I will be going over to the wins counter. We're trying to tick down to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
You know, 15 wins away doesn't seem that daunting, but it is so freaking daunting.
It's so difficult. I mean, difficult to get wet dubs in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
God, everyone is a grind.
They don't come easy. They're difficult. But that's what makes winning it great.
Mm-hmm. I'm just scared. I don't want to get off.
What are you scared of?
I'm scared that they're not going to get off to that great start that they got off to in game one.
They're going to let Montreal hang around?
No, it's just hard to play at that level consistently. That's all.
And there's no pressure on Montreal. No one's expecting Montreal to win the series.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people thought they weren't even getting into the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they did what the Caps did at the end of last season. They qualified
exactly
in the final game right. of the regular season to get in.
So they might play, you know, a little loose, but, I mean, talent usually wins out.
Yeah.
So let's just hope that they come out strong like they did in the first two periods in game one.
So we wanted to get into this article that came out in the Players Tribune about Dylan Strome basically taking nothing for granted, how happy he is to be in Washington playing for a great organization, and how comfortable he is here. And I look at his numbers and
he's talking about a guy blossoming.
I just can't believe Chicago just punted on him and just let him walk. Like they could have signed him to a qualifying offer. They said, we're not really interested in giving you any sort of long-term deal. And well, this is when McClellan was in charge of the personnel. He said, well, I'll take a one-year flyer on Dylan Strome.
Well, what kind of numbers was he putting up in Chicago, like leading up to it?
In Chicago, in...
Like, give me two previous seasons.
Okay, so he had two stints in Chicago. He arrived there from Arizona in the 18-19 season, and in 58 games, he scored 51 points.
That's a lot.
Pretty good clip. Then he gets traded back to Arizona later in that season, which is weird. And then he goes back to Chicago for the 19-20 season.
That is weird.
He spent three more seasons in Chicago. He had 38 points in 58 games. He had 17 points in the COVID year 2021 in 40 games. So that was just a down, weird year for him. And then his final full season in Chicago, he played in 69 games and scored 48 points. So Chicago was like, okay, you can just go out and basically find offers, was I think what they told
him. And they just didn't want to pay.
And I was reading that the Chicago Blackhawks fired the coach that was there initially.
Okay.
And then once he was fired, whoever took over, I guess it was just an assistant, started playing Stromer more.
Okay. Okay.
So his numbers went up.
Right.
So I guess whoever that coach was before, I think his name was Colleton, Jeremy Colleton, he didn't like Stromer.
Well, so Stromer was just walking the street looking for a deal, and Brian McClellan was like, okay, I'll take a chance on a young guy who was a really high pick. I think he was the third or fifth pick. I'll have to go double check where was he drafted. He was picked third overall in 2015. So he inks him to a 1 year, $3.5 million deal. So some of the details about, I think this is about his extension, when he extended. Or this could be when he originally signed. I don't know. This is from Barstool. Nate took a clip from the Players Tribune article. Here's Dylan Strome talking about inking a deal. He says, why don't you call your family and see what they think? So I'm riding in the golf. He's playing golf. So I'm riding in the cart calling my parents. My dad answered. He says, quote, so Washington called, and then his dad just cuts in and says, that seems like a good fit for you. Great team, great city, no brainer. I make a few more quick calls. My brother's a few groups ahead of me on the course. I call him, his brother in the league.
Ryan, yeah.
Says, Washington, man, I love that for you. You got to do it. I called my agent back, said Strome. Let's go to Washington. Finish the front nine, sign the deal, finish the back nine, and I was a Capital.
Wow.
So that's sometimes how deals get done.
Yeah, and was it that told us, who do we have? Doubter, right? It said they just DocuSign these things on the phone.
Right. And in his 3 years here, all he's done is get better every single year.
Mm-hmm.
His first year, 22 and 23, he goes for 65 points in 81 games. And this is another thing that I noticed from his stats. He's only missed one game since he's been here in three full seasons.
He's been sturdy.
And that was in his first campaign here in Washington. The last 2 years, he's played all 82 games. Last year, he racks up 67 points. And this year, he goes over 80 points, by far the best year of his career, with 29 goals, career high, 53 helpers, career high, 82 points, all career highs for Dylan Strome.
Yeah.
I mean, he was obviously signing by then McClellan, and then to extend him, when they realized, like, okay, we got a bargain here. We got a steal with Dylan Strome. Then he inks the extension.
Right. He was
now.
Obviously a great junior player. I mean, he was drafted third overall.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what happened when he finally got to Arizona. Maybe he had some injury issues. And then he goes to Chicago, and that coach just didn't see what he was bringing.
Right.
But obviously, BMAC, he saw it. And Carbs has seen it.
He saw the talent.
So now he's turning into that number three overall pick.
Yeah.
I mean, 82 points, that's a hell of a year.
Just like how he keeps ticking up, 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 up over the last 4 years.
And he's
just ascending as a talent.
He signed a five-year deal, what was that, in 23, I think. I think he signed a five-year deal, $25 million deal extension with the Caps.
Which is, I mean, you're getting a $5 million a year player that gives you 80-plus points.
Yep.
I mean, that's a very solid signing by McClellan and Patrick. And the front office, and they just keep adding really good talent to this team around Alex Ovechkin, around Tom Wilson. And then you're developing the young guys like Mikey and Protas. You trade for Logan Thompson.
And he's only 28.
He's relatively young.
I mean, it seems like he's been in the league a bunch. He's been in the league since, what, 18, 17, 18, maybe even earlier than that?
He started in the NHL in the 16-17 season.
16-17.
So he came in super young.
So he's been in 8-9 years.
He's a grizzled vet.
He's only 28.
He's a grizzled vet at this point.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah. So good to have him in the fold. Good to have him here in D.C. And look, he appreciates playing for a top-level organization in the Capitals. Because he's seen chaos. Like, the Chicago front office has been a mess for a while. Like, that team's been a mess since their Stanley Cup run about, I want to say, about 12 or 15 years
ago.
They're
terrible.
So he's just happy to be in a place where...
He's probably so glad to be out of there.
Perennial playoff contender. He gets to play with the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game. By the way, that doesn't hurt his numbers that he gets to feed Ovi.
Right.
Like, that's a good uptick for him as far as the talent that's on the ice around him. It's good to be skating with number 8. And it reflects in his numbers. So hopefully he has another good game tonight. Caps can get a 2-0 lead. Don't deal with an ugly split. Let's just take care of the home ice. Just do that. Logan Thompson, do what you did in game one, aside from that weird second goal that you let in. I know I'm being persnickety. And he was, like, overcommitting because the defense, like, kind of failed him.
Yeah, but sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to try to make a play.
It's kind of fluky.
You got to make a play.
Right.
It's okay.
I thought that the Caps had a lot of scoring opportunities in the
first two periods. They should have been up more.
But I think that goalie for Montreal.
Oh, he was playing well, but they were putting pressure on him, especially early in that first period.
Yeah, I mean,
you're running into a buzzsaw.
Then they finally got to him, and they got the power play goal, and then
barely.
But
right?
But you got to take advantage of it. But they had a lot of opportunities. But that Montembeau, he played pretty well.
What is your concern?
Not as good as Logan did, but he played pretty well.
10 right now, after the first win.
My level of concern heading into game two?
Just because it'll change based on every game.
It's like a 2.
All right, what if they lose game 2?
I feel pretty good.
What if they lose game 2? It ratchets up to a 5.
It's a 9.
Oh, it goes up to a 9?
Yeah.
One loss will get to a 9.
Because they're playing the 8 seed.
Yeah.
Like, if they were a lesser seed and didn't have such a good regular season, and it were a more tightly contested opponent, then I wouldn't have such a level of concern. I just feel like they need to take care of business on home ice. Don't give Montreal any glimmer of hope. Let's make this a 5-game series. Let's get out of this thing and move on to the next. We don't need a 6 or 7 game war in round 1.
I'd love to know how many 8 seeds in the Stanley Cup playoffs have beaten the 1. I mean, I know it's happened.
Yep.
But I'd like to see the numbers. It's got to be a pretty small percentage, really small percentage.
I mean, it can't be a ton.
I mean, if you look at just the metrics when you compare the Caps and the Canadiens, Caps, you know, goals for, goals against, you know, power play, penalty kill percent, all of that. I mean, the Caps are just better goalie. So this will be a huge upset if the Canadiens ended up winning the series, which I don't think is going to happen, but. I know. I mean, it's the playoffs, and I know 8 seeds have beaten 1 seed, but it's got to be a really small number.
I'm a little bit concerned that Fairvari is going to miss the rest of the playoffs. Like, he's one of their top defensemen. That hurts. But I thought Alexiev stepped in pretty well in his stead, even though he lost a few of his chicklets on the ice, and he's going to be walking around looking like Ovi over the next few days, I would guess.
That's fine. If he really cares, he'd go to the dentist. He'd get some temporary twofers. Trust me, I've been there.
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to do that. He's not going to do that in the middle of the series. Like, he's just going to go toothless, I would think.
Probably, but he could stop by and in 20 minutes a guy could fix something up.
I think he's just going to look like a jack-o'-lantern for the rest of the series. Just have a banged up grill.
It's kind of a tough thing.
Oh, it's definitely.
By the way, are you growing your playoff beard now? Are you in playoff beard mode? Or
yeah,
not
sure.
Really?
This is my playoff beard, Eb.
No, I know.
As opposed to any different beard,
it's your normal one. But are you going to commit to the bit?
Sure, I can do that.
Yeah,
I may tend to it under here at some point.
That's
but
fine.
I'll let this part grow. Sure.
All right. Good.
Hopefully, it's nice and gnarly into early June.
Right.
That would be fantastic. That would mean they're making a cup run. if I'm growing this long into June.
I would say if they lose game two tonight, which, you know, I don't expect, but if they do, my concern would go from like a 3 to like a 5. Okay. I would still not be panicked. I wouldn't be at a 9.
Oh, I'm going to be a solid 9, especially if somehow Montreal just comes out and looks like they're outclassing the Caps.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen either.
Yeah.
Because I think the Capitals are the better team.
I think they are.
The more physical team.
I think they are, too.
Saw a lot of that
game. My concern is the goalie, though. Are they potentially running into a hot goalie?
I hope they pound him tonight. Put 5 or 6 passes.
Of course.
That'd be fantastic.
I'm with you.
So the last update I got from Danny Hutier was that you still weren't feeling Van's Amaker Dance.
No, it, I've heard it many times now, and I know what the words are.
Juicy J, brother.
Yeah. Here's what I hear. Terrible. Bad. Repent. No. Apologize. Say you're sorry, and say the words.
Right.
Whatever they are. I mean, stick by them. You wrote them down, dude. You know, you were like, I have a hit song in mind. Here's what it's going to be. It's going to be about Bands making her dance. Bands refers to the money. It's a money clip. It's rubber bands around
currency. I'm sure Juicy J is like a top 40 DJ from the 80s.
Yeah, well, off the air, off the microphone, is what he sounds like. So it's Bands to make her dance, but instead of two, I'm going to use the word ah.
So that's the part that always threw me off.
To rep the street a little bit.
I was always like,
all right,
why is it Bands ah make her dance?
You see.
Instead of to make her dance.
What?
Didn't make sense to
me. It's mutter to make the hit is what it is. That's the song.
So, but you're getting really caught up in is it a good song or not. What I need you to get caught up in, is it the anthem for Ovi and Chicky and the boys?
I don't know. Is it? I guess.
Last year, the bit that they went with was Talladega, which I loved.
Okay.
I'd never heard of the song in my life, but here I was.
You were over singing it. Yeah.
You were so happy down the stretch. Do you remember how much I fell in love with that song?
Yeah.
And like at my house, I would blare it. My kids would dance. Talladega.
That's the song pretty much.
Yeah. It's about like the boys coming together. And I was just steamed. This is the opposite of that.
Okay.
Whatever. Talladega. That's one. And then we got Band to make her dance. Band to make her dance. And I'm in on this one too because Ovi's in on it.
Yeah.
So if you're saying, is this a good song? No.
No.
Does this song take immense talent? No.
No.
But is it the Caps anthem as it's developing in front of our eyes? Yes. And that means Hutier needs to get on board.
So here's what's different about you and me. I'd like to let it play out a little bit.
Played out. This is weeks now.
No. You missed the point of the dude's story.
Sorry.
I'm not upset with you. You're like, Talladega! They got swept. So, like, that's my association with Talladega. Like, let's get out of the first round, and then we can bands to make people dance.
Well, okay, how about this? Let's talk about differences between you and I.
Yeah.
You think of Talladega. You think about getting swept out of the first round.
I sure do.
I think of Talladega. I think about the month at the regular season finale where they were barreling down the stretch, playing it after every win to make the playoffs, and gave me immense joy last spring when with a nearly minus 40 goal differential, they came from the ashes like the Phoenix make the postseason when nobody – thought they were going to make the playoffs because Talladega brought them together. So I remember it very fondly as the song in the locker room as they came out of nowhere to make the postseason. They happened to get swept. That's fine. I was playing with house money. I wasn't supposed to be there.
No, I remember. Yeah, it was all fun and games. Yeah. So I don't really get on board with you like that for like a to go 5 and 6. You know what I mean? Like I don't get it. I don't do the catchphrase or whatever. In general, I don't. I just I like the sport.
Dad, I need you to find when Juicy J was at the game being interviewed. I don't even know who the girl was that was interviewing him.
Long-time hockey fan.
But they were asking him about the Capitals. He'd clearly never watched hockey, which is fine. He definitely had never seen the Capitals play. It was as if you brought me to like a tennis match or something.
Yeah.
Or not something more obscure, like water polo. But the best part was he didn't know who Alex Ovechkin was. He's like, who's the guy?
The guy. And she's like, the scorer.
Ovi? So find that clip. Let me know when you have it. But in the meantime, Danny, what do we need you – what needs to happen for you to be in on Band's I Make Her Dance? So that when Garris plays it, coming back from a break at some point, rather than rolling your eyes
– and waiting for it to be over.
And waiting for it to be over, you're like, oh, good. I get sized.
Stanley Cup Championship.
Afterwards? So at the parade?
Yes.
So if we – let's do this. Let's figure this out together. Yep. Let's close
this
our
is
eyes.
It. That's what it is.
Okay, so if the Capitals win the cup and we're at the Stanley Cup Parade.
Yes.
Danny Ruelle will dance to and sing along to bands I make her dance.
I'll do the best I can to sing along. I'll mutter.
Sing along is a funny thing.
Guttural utterances.
The like, not clean version's tough, I'll just say.
Ah, so's the clean one. They are both hot garbage.
Well, I don't mean that. I mean the not clean one. I don't think you want to sing along to that one very loudly.
Yeah, I don't want to sing along to either. But
there's some really bad words.
I'm sure. For the price of a Stanley Cup, though, sure. I'll buy La Mucho. I'll dance around.
I don't know where the video is, but I do have a video somewhere of Danny Ruye in a you're the only guy I know that wears vests all the time, like tech vest type things. So you have like one of those puffy vests on.
Yeah.
I think it's the Nationals World Series parade, and you're doing a really jolly dance, and you're so happy, and I've just never quite seen you like that. So yeah. Maybe
all it takes is a parade.
That's it. So we could put the bands I make her dance next to that.
Okay.
How about this?
Yeah.
Could we get you to twerk to that?
I don't think I can.
I think you could.
I don't think I can do that.
Yeah,
physically?
Why not?
I think I'd throw my back out. I don't think you can do that.
You won't bend over, put your palms on the ground, twerk a little bit to bands.
Yeah, see, I'd have to, that's flexibility-wise.
Think,
my
Larry?
Hamstring's too tight. Like
Danny out here shaking that booty? No?
He's just nodding.
This was when Juicy J was at Capital One Arena. Big Alex Ovechkin guy.
Long time.
And it's amazing. Like, I was watching my timeline maybe like a month ago, and I was seeing this hockey team, the Capitals. I saw the Capitals just singing bands and making that. I thought it was like an AI. People take AI all the time and they put pictures with music. So I was like, this is somebody, some AI. But it kept going and kept going. I was like, hold up a second. What's going on? Somebody likes my song, Like I feel like they brought the song back, Like they making it extra, even more popular than it was 5 or 6 years ago.
Were you surprised to see how much steam it had picked up on the internet?
So I'm so surprised. TikTok went crazy. Like then people start calling me, hey man, it's hockey team Capitals. They love your music. Hey man, the main player, the star of the team. I forget his name.
Ovechkin.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yep. They say he's a Michael Jordan of of hockey.
She said Ovechkin. And then he said, yep, he didn't even try. He's like, yeah, him.
Okay.
Talking, my phone's ringing, and here I am.
Well, you just participated in the infamous tunnel warm-up routine and sang it with them. How was that?
Yeah, it was crazy, Like, I never,
There's a joke in there, by the way, Danny, where she says, are you surprised that it, went viral? And he's like, yeah, I'm real surprised. Because his song's terrible.
Yeah, I'm surprised that anybody liked it. I'm surprised he got a single download.
He's like, I'm stunned.
I'm surprised I live this lavish lifestyle based on mumbling.
Craig Lachlan is a guy that I think respects bands, right? We'll talk to
Bands
Locker.
I make her dance, GP.
Joel B, bands I make her dance. Hold it here, Ovi. Hold it here with the band. Why not? Make her dance, Joel B. Locker, next. We're live at City Tap House ahead of game two.
One more chance, maybe. No icing here. Hudson, up the middle with 8 seconds left. Ahead on the left side. It is stopped in the neutral zone. Dubois, the other way for McMichael. He scores! Empty net! Connor McMichael! The Capitals are halfway home! It's 3-1 Washington!
That was John Walton on the call for the Capitals Radio Network, heard right here on 106.7 The Fan. Here the playoffs, all playoffs long. Hopefully plenty more games to come right here on The Fan. B. Mitch, he got us fired up for going into the game yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And his calls of game winners always get me fired up as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
John
Definitely.
Walton, one of the best in the biz. The Capitals get a 3-2 win in overtime. Alex Ovechkin with 2 goals. On the night, if you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Let's get out to Jonesy. Jonesy, what's going on, man?
Hey, other guy. I don't know. But, hey, Dirty 30, B. Mitch, what's going on?
What's happening, brother?
I'm just messing with you, Toby. How you feeling, man?
I'm doing great, man.
Check this out, man. I 2/3 of the game I love. It's the last one was, I was written on a respirator. You know what I mean? Because it was setting up to look like he was about to lose. But Ovi, man, the dude is a road beast, man. Hot robot, all the way, 100% straight eight beast. He saved us. And Dylan Strome, can't say enough about that dude. I think he's going to be that dude when Obi finally pretty much say, hey, he's hanging up the daggone skate. But B. Mitchell said it once before, about a few years back. You cannot let a team come in at the last, at the ending of a game, and give them confidence, because often that's how games are stolen.
Yeah.
But luckily, we was able to get away with it. They're going to have to come with it in game two, because these jokers is going to be coming out there hunting for blood.
Oh, yeah, they got a little confidence now.
Go ahead.
That's it. They got a little confidence now, so you got to make sure you got to kill that. Yeah.
Can't give them no confidence, and that's what they did. So yep. you got to bring it strong coming out here. You know, like we do on S Talk, bring it strong. Don't bring it at all in game two. It's gonna be a tough one.
Oh yeah.
Other than that, fellas, y'all have a good day. Hang out with my boy Jaywalk, and I'm good.
All right, bro.
I appreciate it, Jonesy. Yeah, he mentioned.
You gotta be careful hanging out with Jeff, man. We don't know.
He mentioned Dylan Strome. It's kind of crazy with what his career had kind of come into. He scored 57 points in 2018, 2019 with Arizona and then with Chicago. So had a solid season there. And then after that, 51 points in 2018-19, only 38 in 2019-20. And then eventually ends up with 48 the year before he didn't get tendered and ends up in Washington. And since then, 65 points first year with the Capitals, 67 points last year, and 82 points this year. Dylan Strome has been spectacular. The way that he has turned into a really, really good player, where you had no idea who was going to fill in for Nicklas Backstrom now that he's kind of finished with his career. You had no idea who was going to be that guy. And Dylan Strome steps right in and has been spectacular in his time in D.C.
There's a clip out there with Mike Tomlin talking about people who like to say guys can't do stuff. He said he loves to hear coaches say that. He said, isn't that your job as a coach to find people to do it? So what he's done since he's gotten here, not only does he have players that have done exceptional things, he has a coaching staff who can get him where he needs to go. And normally once you get that confidence, then all of a sudden what you have in you comes out. So we'll talk about that later on too, where you know you get the guys coming out of the draft and everybody go, oh, this guy can't do this. Well, if you're a coach, you're supposed to get him to do it, right?
Yeah,
and absolutely. I think that's the ultimate thing. The Caps know how to get, just like we talked about Dan Quinn yesterday with his staff, they know how to get the best out of people.
Captain Todd said we can change the name of the show. It's the B. Mitch and the Other Guy Show. Or we could call it B. Mitch and Friends. Let's get out to Crazy Drew. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, Toby. Hey, B. Mitch.
What up, brother?
Hey, so the thing I wanted to say is one of the things that makes sports great is sometimes these storylines. And you do get the feeling with Obi getting the all-time goal record that this is a season where, you know, some amazing things can happen. And yesterday was just another example. But I got to say, I just give these guys a pretty good chance of going all the way and getting a cup. And I think that would be pretty amazing. You know, the one thing I think with hockey that's a little different than some of the other sports is a little randomness. And I think that's what we saw last night with those two goals. I mean, they did let up a little bit, but some of that was just the weird bounces. They're skating on ice and all that stuff. And so, I think if we can just overcome the randomness of hockey, this team's got greatness in store for it for the year. And it'll be one of the great seasons of all time. So I'm excited.
All right, man. That's
appreciate
a good way
it,
of saying it, the randomness of hockey.
I mean, there is.
There's some random crap that goes on out there. I promise you that.
There really is. There's puck luck. You got to get lucky with the way the puck bounces. That's what I was saying. It's just so crazy, B-Mitch, because you just – the way that the ice changes over time, the puck's going to bounce differently. Like, it's just such a crazy sport where you never know.
If the Zamboni guy don't do a good job, you got a problem.
Right? I mean, it's just an insane sport. But to see them come out play the way they did early on in that game I think was really encouraging, because that was not the team – that we saw over the last couple of weeks leading into the playoffs and trying to get back in shape of playing the way they did earlier in the season, coming off of the goal chase. And so seeing that again was refreshing, because that's the team we saw earlier in the season. And now it's just about maintaining that, having that energy. It was really encouraging to see them flip that switch. They're minus 650 now to win the series against Montreal, so they're pretty heavily favored to do so. And obviously they're the one seed. They should win this series. But it's just so crazy with hockey. You never want to take anything for granted. So getting game one is just massive.
Totally, totally. Because like the last thing you want, you'd be the favorite and you give up home field, home ice. get caught up in that. So that home heights advantage. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, and the atmosphere looked electric last night. Yeah. It always is, but yeah, it looked great last
night. It's going to be electric when they get to Montreal, so they might want to get game two as well.
Yeah, I saw a couple of Nationals pitchers were hanging out right there on the glass behind the Nats.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore were at the game last night taking it in. I'm going to go over to Nats Park a little later, maybe ask them about their experience. But, yeah, it seemed like a great crowd, a good win for the Capitals.
I really like seeing that, too, like all the other sports getting into it, you know. That makes a world of difference.
Well,
you get the people in the town supporting each other. It's good stuff.
What was it like during your time playing here?
Yeah, I mean, we went to a lot of the basketball games. It wasn't all the baseball, and hockey wasn't that good back then. But we went to the basketball games a lot, and everybody showed up at the football games early on because we were winning all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's flipped. The team that wins all the time are the Caps.
But it's kind of cool to see when you have those relationships. Yeah, like that 18-19 run where the Capitals won and the Nationals were always there.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Nationals won and the Capitals were always there. It was cool to see that relationship.
True.
And for the longest time, with the previous ownership of the Commanders,
nobody wanted to deal with him.
No one wanted to be around.
They went for the players and the team, but they didn't want to go for him.
And now that has changed, right? They're embracing everybody.
Drastically.
The Wizards obviously embracing because of the same ownership as the Capitals. So seeing all the teams back together again,
but
it's
what
nice
it does,
to see, refreshing.
More than anything, one team wins, all athletes are truly competitors. They're like, oh, we got to get one now.
Well, and so
they don't just sit back and want to enjoy you doing it. They want to be able to do it, too.
That's what I think is interesting. There's a new series out on Netflix. If you haven't checked it out, it's about the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
They followed them last year. And there's a clip when the Celtics showed up to a Red Sox game with the championship trophy and the guys walking through the clubhouse before the game and saying what's up to Jason Tatum and whatnot. And I can't remember who it was, but one reliever was talking to Joe Mazzulla, head coach of the Celtics. And they were just chit-chatting. And he's like, seeing you all do that makes us want to get one.
Hell yeah.
How much does that push? Like, when you have success with one team.
Listen, man, if I see someone getting the love from the city, I want to see the love from the city. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to sit there and just be a fan. If you are a person getting paid to do a sport, you see somebody else getting all that love, you want to experience that. And you don't experience it by just showing up to the game and watching them. You go and work a little harder. You start doing things you weren't doing before. You know, ask them questions. Hey, man, what did it take? You know, was it the team or did every individual comes back a little stronger, a little better?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the team is a lot stronger, a lot better. And if you can get your team to do the same thing, then maybe you get that opportunity.
Well, I bet you for guys like Jake Irvin and Mackenzie Gore, who haven't been here when the Nationals were good, right? They came over after 2019. Mm-hmm. They've been here after. It probably was, I wouldn't say eye-opening, because they've seen the stadium packed before, but maybe not all Nats fans. Like, when the opening series was here, it was the Phillies, so you had a lot of Phillies fans mixed in there. It was still an electric environment, but not the same as all 20,000 people wearing Caps jerseys cheering for the same team. I bet you that does motivate them. Like, I want to see Nats Park like this.
I think, was it Jaden that said, like, you know, he wanted to get Northwest, just like that, because he saw some game, I think, last year, and it was packed. He wanted to see the same thing. It creeps in.
Yeah.
It creeps in, man. And if you could get – can you imagine getting Northwest one day just all burgundy and gold? We don't see all them other teams.
It's always –
they could be on the outside trying to get in, but the hell with them being inside.
It'd be nice.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have it back to that, because I never got to experience vintage RFK. I never got to experience all
I did.
The – well, you were part of the reason we had vintage RFK.
Oh, it was special, baby.
Well, and I watched all the VHS tapes. I was indoctrinated as a kid. That's why I'm a diehard.
You don't have to be rude. Talking about VHS tapes and all that crap. Ain't that damn old.
I mean, that's what I watched,
it
right?
Is. And then, probably had some reel-to-reel back there, too.
Oh, yeah. The stands shaking, We Want Dallas, all that stuff gives me chills thinking about it. I didn't even get to experience it.
That was special, man. I hope they can, as we move into that, hope they can get that stands on the opposing side to rock just like it did then.
I bet you that's intimidating environment.
Hell yeah.
Like, that's what Josh Harris talks about, right? He's wants to be welcoming to the home fans and the home team, but intimidating as can be to the opponent.
Hell yeah. If they see the fans making the stadium move, what do they think the fans could do to them?
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Welcome back to the Junks on 106.7 The Fan, Monumental Sports Network. Team 980 as well. Scheduled to join us is Devontae Smith-Pelly, Caps analyst for Monumental Sports Network. I believe he's joining us right now on the Rude guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Devontae Smith-Pelly. What's up, DSP? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. By the way, if anybody ever sees DSP in downtown D.C. or anywhere in the DMV, you should always buy this man a drink.
Buy him a drink.
Okay, buy him a drink. He had 7 goals and an assist.
Get him a haircut.
In the Caps Stanley Cup run from 2018.
For life.
So you see him saddle up to a bar, you say, I'm going to buy that fine fella a drink.
When's the last time that happened, DSP?
Honestly, last night I went out and I didn't pay for anything. So,
see,
there you go.
That's beautiful.
Nice life. Nice life you've carved out for yourself, buddy.
It's a great world.
So, Devontae, another guy who shouldn't be paying for drinks or meals or anything anytime soon in DC is Logan Thompson for the way he's played in the first two games. Were you surprised at how effective he's been since he came off the injury? And just talk about his play through these first two games. I mean, he's been spectacular, way better than anybody could have imagined.
Oh, definitely not surprised. I think, you know, you look at his record, you look at his, his first 40 games that he played in the season. It was really, really good. I think we saw a lot of that during the regular season, him playing a lot of really good games, making timely saves. I obviously the playoffs is amplified, but I think when you look at his body of work for the whole season, this is kind of what it's been. It's good goaltending. So coming off an injury, you obviously never know how somebody's going to react from missing games and then jumping into the playoffs. Obviously, it's a big jump, but this is the goaltending that they've been getting from him all season. So that way, I'm not really surprised.
And Chucky's such a good teammate. Like, I'm sure that he's completely happy that Thompson is back, that he got tabbed to be the starter. If he needs to go in, I'm sure he's going to go in and perform admirably, but he has to be thrilled at the way Thompson's playing. Those guys just had a good synergy all season long.
Yeah, I think, you know, I can't speak for Chucky, but as a player, you always want to play. But the relationship they have and the support they have for each other is great. There's no bad blood. There's no I wish I was in there instead of him or anything like that. They're 100% about the team. So I'm definitely not worried about that. If you're going to go on a long playoff run, you're going to need probably both goalies anyway. So I'm sure Chucky will be ready when called upon.
So are you concerned at all that the Caps seem to have outplayed, I'd say, at least 4 of the 6 periods? There have been parts of the third period sometimes where you feel like you're kind of on the wrong side of it. But we're not able to pull away. At one point yesterday, I think we had 26 shots that are 11. I know that's not the perfect metric, but I like it pretty good. And we just weren't able to pull away. Is that something to be concerned about, or is that just something maybe unique to this series? Because their goalie's playing great too.
Yeah, I wouldn't say there's any concern. Would you like to, kind of get that third goal to make it 3-0 or make it 3-1 earlier in the game? Yeah, obviously. But like you said, their goalie is playing really well. They obviously have that push, which is regular. That's going to happen in the playoffs as teams are up 2-0, 2-1, and the other team gets a little bit of a push and gets a lot of shots. But no, I definitely wouldn't say there's some concern. It's not as if they're taking their foot off the gas at 2-0 or 2-1. They're still pushing, but like you said, the goaltender on the other side is playing well as well.
So, Devontae, with Pro out with the injury, and we saw him skating yesterday, hopefully he's back in a bit, they needed other guys to step up, help provide offense, and Bevilier has gone above and beyond. He's been really good in these first two games. Talk about him, and we touched on this earlier, like, why does that guy like change teams so often? He's been on a bunch of different teams in the NHL. He's a young player that seems pretty skilled. Why do you think he's had a hard time like sticking in one place throughout his career?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard to say because he's had some really good seasons, stats-wise and stuff like that. But, I can't speak for other teams, but I think maybe you know, he's kind of caught in between, you know, when he came into the league, he was a complete skill guy and had a couple of years successfully as that, you know, as an Islander and stuff like that. And as you move around, I guess different teams have different ideas of what you are. But he's been if you look at his playoff stats in total, he's always been a playoff performer. So him getting a chance to play with Ovi, they got a little bit of a matchup advantage with some of the other lines taking the Montreal top line. So I'm definitely not surprised that he, you know, looks this way early in the series. And I think he'll continue to be a big part of the Caps' success.
All right, so game three, Devontae is going to be raucous up in Montreal at the Bell Center. It's probably going to be a great atmosphere. Montreal probably has some confidence. Those young kids probably have some confidence based on how they've played, especially in the third period of games one and two. What are you seeing? What do you think the big key for Washington is in game three on the road?
Well, the atmosphere in the Bell Center is it's unlike any arena ever. So that first 10 minutes is going to be super important. You know, even if guys have played playoff games in the past, that first 10 minutes in the Bell Center is going to be probably a shock to a lot of guys. It's extremely loud. The building shakes right from the start. So, yeah, I think it'll be important for the first 10 minutes to kind of weather that storm. And as loud as and, you know, rowdy as that crowd gets, they also aren't very patient. So, if you have a good first 10 minutes and don't let the crowd kind of get into it and get the team excited, you know, you can kind of use the crowd against that team. So I think the start will be super important. If you have a good first 10 minutes, the crowd will start feeling it, and I think the pressure will kind of shift to the other team.
Joined by Devontae Smith-Pelly, Caps analyst on Monumental Sports Network. So last night, the Caps out-hit Montreal by 7. Talk about what it's like going through a series when you're facing a team like the Caps that's big and physical and hits a lot. Like the toll that it takes on you and your teammates when those guys are just constantly coming at you in waves throughout the series. How does that take an effect on you and your body going through each series with a team like the Caps?
Yeah, it takes a massive toll, obviously, physically with, you know, bumps and bruises. But, you know, I'll give an example. I think later in the third period, Lane Hudson, who's a young kid, really good defenseman, you know, he's been going back and getting pucks all night. And, you know, he loves to have the puck. And he kept going back and getting hit and getting hit and getting hit. And then late in the third period, he looked over his shoulder and he saw Tom Wilson, and he just decided, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm over it. So it takes a toll physically, but mentally, especially for a younger team, you know, how much are they willing to just keep dealing with that? How much are they willing to, every single time they go back and get the puck, do they have to look over their shoulder and they're getting hit? It doesn't have to be, you know, the hardest hit ever, but it's every single time you're on the ice. And eventually, like last night, you'll see guys just start to, I don't want to do that anymore, and that's how you create turnovers, and that's how you create scoring chances. So it's extremely important. You might not see the effects of the forecheck and the hitting every single night or for every single guy, but I guarantee you majority of guys, eventually they look up and they say, I don't want to do that anymore, and it takes away the scoring chance.
How were you feeling last night when they pulled Montembeau and it was 6-on-5 and they were getting some really good shots, and, you know, Logan was making unbelievable saves there, deflections, and I was in bed, but I was on the edge of my bed. Devontae, believe me, I thought they were going to score there. How are you feeling with all those good shots they were getting off?
Yeah, I think you know, Logan was kind of in that zone where, for me personally, it didn't seem like they were going to score. On 6-on-5, you know, the other team's going to get a couple chances. I thought the Caps did a good job of at least making it tougher. The game before, towards the end, I didn't think they did a great job at defending and getting the puck out, but, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice of the body and things like that, but the way Logan was playing it looked like he was going to keep the door shut, and obviously he did.
Devontae, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it. It's Devontae Smith-Pelly, Caps analyst on Monumental Sports Network. And everybody remember, his money is no good around you if you see him out and about in public. Thanks, Devontae.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
The end of the period, and now Anderson is on the Washington bench. Wilson is going after Anderson on the Washington bench. They're not even on the ice here. Wilson's coming after Anderson, and Anderson's in a load of trouble as the Lions person's come in to break it up. Kyle Flemington is trying to get him at least back on the ice. They've done that. Dubois and Gouley now. This has boiled over. A Montreal tunnel is right next to the Washington bench. And as the teams were crossing over, this was a powder keg, and then the spark showed up.
Well, Anderson's been in the middle of everything here. Tom Wilson decided to take care of him.
Tom Wilson is waving at Arbor. Jack Eye has said something. See you later. Jack Eye just threw something at him.
Just threw something at him, but they won't get that. That's fine.
I'm telling you what, if they don't throw Jack Eye the book at that, he literally threw something. It was tough to tell. Wasn't a glove.
It was his glove. Yeah, they just threw it out back on the ice.
Threw his glove at Wilson, who is currently seated on the Washington bench. The players haven't left. It's the end of the second period. Montreal is still standing with about half their team. Most of Washington still here. The crowd going nuts. Wilson is on the bench. The Cap staff was trying to leave. The coaching staff was ready to go. Some of the trainers had left because they've got to walk across here in Montreal. And the Olé chant from the faithful. I've never seen anything quite like this.
Yeah, this is old school right there. But Tom Wilson had enough of Anderson, who's coming in there, poking and whacking. He takes him out onto the bench and lets him know. Arbor Jack Eye want a piece of him, but he had his chance when he was on the ice.
There will be a truckload of penalties here.